with all this going on, God is still on the throne, and He shall be for all eternity. 790. Have you started for glory in heaven? Have you left this whole world far behind? In your heart is a comfort to dwell in. Can you say, praise the Lord, He is mine? Have the ones that once walked on the highway gone back and you seem all alone? Keep your eyes on the prize for the home in the sky.
Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the promise that you are still on that throne and you're not going to give it up for anyone else. And though men in their puny ways will seek to overstep you and put themselves on the throne, it will never happen. We thank you for the promises of thy word and what Jesus is going to do. We thank you for what he's already done, and then also for what he will do. Bless our time of prophecy as we look at it here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time Jason's going to sing for us, and we're going to get right into the subject that happens.
Don't let that ship of Zion leave without me on board. This world's a cold and a lonely place. I wanna go home with my Lord. I wanna go home with my Lord. Well, I made my plans many years ago for when I leave this world. I'm gonna move on up to the city of gold. I'm gonna walk through the gates of pearl. Don't let that ship of Zion leave without me on board. This world's a cold and a lonely place. I wanna go home with my Lord. I wanna go home with my Lord. Well, one day soon he's coming back. When the trumpet sounds and all the dead in Christ are gonna rise up first, and then we'll all be heaven bound. Oh, don't let that ship of Zion leave without me on board. Well, this world's a cold and a lonely place. I wanna go home with my Lord. I wanna go home with my Lord. Friend, don't let your soul get left behind. Make room for him while there's still time. Well, don't let that ship of Zion leave without me on board. Well, this world's a cold and a lonely place. I wanna go home with my Lord. I wanna go home with my Lord. I wanna go home with my Lord.
All right, there we go. I'm back on. I'm going to take this word Jehovah out of here. My wife said it looks a little funny with Jehovah's Witnesses to be up on there. So, take that out and extend this arrow out here a little bit. All right, so last week we got this far along. We got into the tribulation time. And I want to continue to take a look at some of these things here. First thing that's going to happen here, even before the seals are done, is that we're going to see this 144,000 sealed in their foreheads. And the scripture for this is Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 7, 1 through 4. Just take a look at that quickly here. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So I believe the tribulation starts out with the sealing of this 144,000 witnesses who will then go, I believe, to the nation of Israel primarily, preaching the gospel to them. The tribulation starts at this time with the seven seals, and then following with the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. These are all judgments which are going to be pouring out from heaven on the earth while all these things are going on with man and the Antichrist and the harlot and everything. All these things are going on at the same time. God is pouring out judgments on this earth. And then we're going to see a false peace as far as Israel is concerned with the soon-to-be-revealed Antichrist. And they will have peace for 3.5 years, after which the Antichrist will break his covenant of peace with them. This whole time, the 7 years of tribulation, is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Let me just use a red pen here. This whole time is called time of Jacob's trouble. And that's found in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. They think they've had trouble in the past. The worst is yet to come for the nation of Israel. I wish I could say something different about that, but that's the way it is going to be. Now, halfway through the tribulation time, I believe these 144,000 are going to be finding themselves up there in heaven with the Lord. And that's Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5. And you can see that there if you would read that by yourself sometime. This whole time frame as well, I kind of erased the parenthesis on the other side because I didn't know how far out I would need to go, if I would have to come on over to this other board or not. But for sake of, I'll just kind of put this right here for right now, okay? This time frame here is also known as Daniel's, somebody tell me? What? Daniel's what? All 70 weeks or the 70th, the last of the weeks. Okay, Daniel's 70th week. And a week, without going into a deep study of that in the book of Daniel, each of those weeks is 7 years. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. I'll put that up here too. This is Daniel 9, verse 24, I believe I have 24 through 27. Going to Daniel chapter 9. I think it's interesting that this passage of Scripture sits there in Scripture, giving us a time frame for the trouble that's going to come on the face of the earth. And in Daniel 9, verse 24, says, 70 weeks are determined. So 70 sevens would be 490 years all total are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So you have to add them all together to come on up from the time of the rebuilding and the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls and the temple, all the way up to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, and even right on up to the very death of the Lord Jesus Christ would be 483 years, leaving 7 more years yet to be fulfilled. And those 7 years and the things Daniel's going to talk about here to happen during those 7 years have not happened yet. So they are still future. What has happened is a long period of time has taken place between the Lord's crucifixion. That would take you up 483 years from, if we go way out here, from the time that they the decree went forth to rebuild Jerusalem all the way up to the cross would be 483 years. The rejection of Christ by Israel has caused a long period of time right here, 2,000 years worth. 7 more years need to be accomplished. Let's look at it down there, verse 25, the last part. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's the end of the 483 years. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. If we go back here to the cross, you go out 70 years to 70 AD, that's when Jerusalem was destroyed by Rome. It's been desolate ever since. Then verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I believe the he there is referring back to that prince that shall come, shall destroy the city. Who did that? He is a foreshadow of the Antichrist who's going to come. And he will make a covenant with Israel for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, so the middle of the week would be 3.5 years into that covenant that he's made with them, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So what's going to happen is halfway through this 7-year time frame of a covenant of peace with Israel, he's going to break his covenant halfway through. So into the tribulation time, 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to arise and do a terrible deed in the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about that in Matthew 24. If you go to Matthew 24, the Lord prophesies about this. In Matthew chapter 24. He's talking about how that there will be many Christs coming and deceive many. Talks about nation rising against nation and also some natural events that will be taking place. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise. Verse 3, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. That's not a verse for the Arminians to say that if you don't endure, you'll lose your salvation. Has nothing to do with being saved. It's talking about enduring through this whole 7-year period. They that endure unto the end are going to be delivered to go into the kingdom. Has nothing to do with personal, evangelistic, gospel preaching salvation of the soul. It has to do with the enduring to the end of this time frame. That's what the context is all about. You can check it out yourself. All right, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I believe that's 144,000 being talked about there, and also the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. They're going to be preaching the gospel. And later on, you're going to also have the preaching of the gospel going on by the angel with the everlasting gospel. An angel with everlasting gospel. That ought to be an interesting time. That's in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. Verses 6 and 7. Talk about God sending an angel to preach the gospel to the people. So you got the 144,000, the two witnesses, the angel with the everlasting gospel, preaching this gospel unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved or delivered. See, now that there. All right, if you're going to say, verse 13 talks about personal salvation, the Lord, then what does that save down there have reference to? The context is obvious. It's not talking about personal salvation. It's talking about enduring unto the end. And so here he says, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So what do we have coming on here? We have what is called the great tribulation. And the great tribulation words have reference to the last 3.5 years, after which Daniel told us right here halfway through the week he will do an abomination of desolation in the temple. Many believe it is the offering of a pig on the altar. That's what they did back way back. And the Lord says, when you see that take place, run. Take off, Israel. Go for the hills. And woe be to those who are with child or with sucking children. And pray that it be not on a Sabbath day. Because they're going to be wanting to be careful about how far they go on a Sabbath day. On a Sabbath day's journey. And what I see here also is that Israel is going to flee. Let me just do it this way here. I'm going to use a black pen. I can see I'm running out of space here. But from this point here, 3.5 years down, Israel is going to flee. Really, for the hills. You hear sometimes people say flee for the hills. Well, Isaiah chapter 16 verse 1 tells us about a city called Petra. And that's going to be a place in which the Lord's going to protect Israel. Would you go to Isaiah chapter 16 verse 1? I always was intrigued by this piece of information in the Bible. Isaiah 16 and verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah. And in your center column references, sometimes they will tell you what the Hebrew of Selah is. It means Petra or a rock. To the wilderness under the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, that'll be Israel, wandering bird, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That's a river that kind of borders Israel and Moab. And the Moabites, of course, are distant relatives. And at this time, the Lord's going to call on them to protect his people Israel. Verse 3, take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth, let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, I believe the Antichrist, and also the devil himself being involved here, for the extortioner is at an end, the spoiler causes, and on it goes. We see Israel being protected by Moab and the Moabites in a place called Selah or Petra. And there is a place known as Petra, which is a city carved out of the rock. And right now it's not inhabited, but it will be someday by the outcasts of Israel who will flee when the trouble really gets tough. And the Antichrist really starts to bear down upon Israel to destroy them if he can. And the devil's involved in this too. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 1. We can also put that right here as a reference too. Revelation 12. 1 through. I think it will go all the way down through the end of the chapter. 17. We see John writes here, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I believe that's Israel. All right. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. That's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That is who? Anybody? I know Dave. Dave knows it. How about the rest of you? Who is it? The devil. All right. The great red dragon. That's the devil. How do we know? Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. There you go. Right? If you say, oh, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you better believe it. There it is. A great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Well, that's the Antichrist. Okay. We'll see that description for him again. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So that includes all the fallen angels right there. There you get the information or the data that we talk about when we talk about how many fallen angels are there. Well, 1/3 of all God's created angels fell in with the devil when he rebelled in heaven. And verse 4, cast in the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, stood before Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Do you think the devil was trying to do that when Mary had the baby? Instead of in a nice motel, there was no room in the inn, born and laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. You think the devil was trying to get rid of that baby if he could? I believe so. And verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child, that's the Lord, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's the Lord. We know the prophecies about him ruling with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Okay, that includes the life, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension up into heaven. That's what happened. And it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. By the way, between verse 5 and verse 6, you can insert the whole church age. Okay? Just stick it right in there. Well, it doesn't look that long. Well, you got to do it because that's what has happened. The Lord has ascended up into heaven. And ever since he's been up there in heaven, he's been calling out a people for his name. And it's been over 2,000 years since that happened. And it will be 2,003.5 years, all right, 2,003.5 years later when, as verse 6 says, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, I believe Petra, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. How many years is that? Yeah, 3.5 years. She is going to be protected in Petra for 3.5 years. Now, whether it's all in Petra or there's other places as well, roundabout and so forth, one way or another, the Lord's going to protect Israel. The devil, the great dragon, the beast, they are not going to succeed in annihilating Israel. That's why every time, you know, we hear some of these Muslims make such a grand statements against Israel. You know what? They're fools. It isn't going to happen. Now, they may touch Israel to a certain point and kill a lot of Israelites and so forth. But Israel's going to kill a lot of them too. Because the Lord's not going to allow Israel to be annihilated. It's not going to happen. Now the Hamas and the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda, you know what? They're killing each other. And you know, that's not a strange thing to the Bible. That's not strange to the Bible. God has many of the enemies of Israel killing themselves in battle. Right? Can you go like that? You say, yeah, I remember reading stories like that in the Bible. Yeah. God caused those enemies to start killing each other. And when Israel woke up the next morning, went out to the battle site, there were all dead bodies out there. And they spoiled them, took all their stuff and everything. Wow, what a provision God often did for the nation of Israel. And he's going to do it again in the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation time. All right, now, also, during this time, let me just go over the Antichrist here before I get to the harlot thing. The abomination of desolation is going to take place right here. I'll just stick this in here. Abomination of desolation. You know, by the way, there are many who do not believe that there ever was a literal Daniel who wrote the book of Daniel. Well, you have confirmation that there was a real Daniel who wrote the book of Daniel from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. I like the way the Lord confirms some of these things that unbelievers just can't handle. Daniel, Moses, Jonah. I don't believe a whale could swallow a man. Well, you better believe it. Well, I don't know. I'm too intelligent for that. Well, then you're smarter than the Lord Jesus Christ. Even he gave confirmation to the person of Jonah. And so should you and I, and Daniel as well. Well, the Antichrist, he is going to appear right here. Let me get some other color here. Let's use brown for the Antichrist. I don't want to give him too much glory. Antichrist, put him right in here. And I'll give you some verses here for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12. The mark of the beast, 666, will be established, I believe, at this point. And you can see this in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, and chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, to see the Antichrist and the 666 marking. A lot of people talk about 666. Even unsaved people talk about 666. It's hard to believe that these people who seem to know a little bit will actually take such a mark like that. But, you know, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. And they're going to be desperate in these days. Because not only will the deception be so great of the Antichrist upon the people of this world, but you've got this going on. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowl judgments of the Lord being poured out at the same time. I mean, people are going to be in perplexity of thought, confusion. They are going to be looking for somebody to take care of all the problems. And of course, the devil's going to deceive the whole world into thinking that Israel is their problem. You say, oh, that'll never happen. That's been done before. And many people followed the dictates of a man who said, Israel is the problem. We get rid of them, we'll establish a utopia. He's going to say the same thing. We get rid of Israel, we will have peace on this world like you've never known. Follow me. Take my mark. And after they take the mark, After a while, they're going to realize they have to take the mark in order to do business, in order to survive. And people are going to do things that they once talked about and joked about and laughed about. They're going to take a mark on their body. Folks, don't you see a resurgence, but don't you see a surging of people being willing to mark their bodies with tattoos from head to foot? I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that's what the Lord wants you as a Christian to do. So you should avoid the tattoo shops. You ought to also avoid the body piercings. All these things, I believe, are examples of the last times upon us and what people will actually do to themselves or allow to be done to themselves. I mean, they'll carve through tattoos ugly creatures and beasts and snakes and every kind of thing that the devil uses to deceive people. Now, if you're sitting here or you're listening on the internet and you got these tattoos all over your body, let me say this. There's mercy and there's grace at the cross for forgiveness for having done such things to yourself. And you may never be able to erase them off of your body, but I will say this. That does not mean you cannot be saved and you cannot serve the Lord even with those markings on you. For the rest of your life. And one of these days, you'll get a new body and it won't have tattoos on anymore. I do believe that that will be the case. So I would call upon you, repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So these are the passages that will instruct us about the Antichrist and about the markings of the beast and so forth. There is one more passage I want to show you, and I just want to make sure I'm going to give this to you at the right time. The identification of the Antichrist is going to be in Revelation chapter 13. I have it up here for the mark of the beast, but also chapter 13, verses 1 through, and I want to take you there. Revelation 13, 1 through I'm just going to go down through 5. I mean, there's a lot of things in this chapter about the Antichrist. But I'm just going to read down through verse 5 for our purposes right here. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and the mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now you'll notice that this Antichrist, this beast, is made up of all the previous three great empires that have come on the earth, which Daniel talked about and revealed to us in the book of Daniel. Even before the beast number 2, beast number 3 came on the scene, he prophesied they would come. Beast number 1 was already there when he lived. That is Daniel, when he lived. And that would be Babylon. And then the Medes and the Persians. And then the Greeks. All typified, symbolized by the leopard, the bear, and the lion. And now the dragon gave him his power. And of course, the fourth beast is not even identified specifically by Daniel because it's so bad. And it was so wicked and so fierce. And so this beast here is the same one Daniel talks about in his book, is brought up here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You know, Micah says the opposite. And he said, who is like unto God, the God of Israel, who pardoneth and forgiveth transgressions. Who is like unto the God of Israel? Here they're actually pronouncing the praises of this man, mere man, energized by Satan, and saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How many years is that? 3.5 years. And so he starts his reign right here over the world. And he's going to do it for 3.5 years. And you can see as you read down through the verses there, he makes war with the saints up in heaven. There's another beast that comes on the scene, a false prophet whose job is, and you know, I can just kind of say a false prophet. I'll just put him right here. False prophet. He is going to work to get the whole world to worship the beast. Now, I know the word Antichrist isn't in Revelation, but it is in the books of John, he writes. The beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet causes the whole world to worship the beast. And, of course, the one who energizes the whole thing is the dragon or the devil. And I like to call this the unholy Trinity. Unholy Trinity. We got the dragon. We got the beast. And we have the false prophet. Compares to the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I didn't put them up there. I really don't even want to put them under there with the word unholy Trinity up there. But the dragon would be equal to the Father. The beast would be equal to the Son. And the false prophet would be equal to the Holy Spirit as far as their working is concerned. This Antichrist, this beast, is someone who was once dead and has come back to life, or it could simply have reference to the fact that his kingdom waned, but has come back to life. The kingdom has come back to life, and now rules and reigns, similar to death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but a counterfeit of that. And then the false prophet seeks to get the whole world to worship the beast. The Holy Spirit seeks to get the church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be more like Christ. See how it's a counterfeit of God? This is what the devil does. He counterfeits everything that God does. Even music. There's holy music and there's unholy music. You know that? Oh, wow. And I would call it the devil's music. All right, well, another thing is going on here. You remember we were talking about the church age here and how that the true church is going to be raptured up out of this world? Well, there's going to be a false church, I believe, that goes on into the tribulation time. False church. It's going to be around after we're gone. Hey, you take the church situation today. We got Protestantism. We got Roman Catholicism. We have all the cults, many of which claim Christ, claim to be Christian. And they're as far away from it as you possibly can be when you look at their doctrine. Their doctrine is not right. It's false. It's not biblical. They have extra-biblical revelation. Their prophets have written books that supersede what the Bible says. Or they say of their prophets, like Ellen G. White, what she wrote is equal to the Scriptures. They'll often say things like, when you read our prophets' writings, then you'll understand the Bible better. In fact, you can't understand the Bible unless you read our prophets' writings. You know, when the rapture of the church takes place, guess what? They're going to keep on going. They're going to go right on into this 7-year period. They're going to be right there. And it's just going to keep on going right on through here, right to here. 3.5 years. And let me just kind of, I'll just make a broken line so I don't mess up all my words here. I'm going to call this the harlot church. I believe it has its own time-appointed day of judgment with God. And it's going to happen very unusually, the way it's going to take place. The scriptures for this are going to be Revelation 17 and 18. Two chapters. Also, chapter 14, verse 8. 14, verse 8. And to identify it, Revelation 17, verse, and I think it's 18. Verse 18. A specific verse out of chapter 17. I'm just going to put a little rectangle around that verse, 17, 18. All right, folks, let's take a look at it. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. All right, so this seven bowl judgment is about to be poured out upon the earth. And before that takes place, there's going to be some discussion about a harlot woman, a great whore. And this angel talked with me, that be John, saying unto me, John, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. I see this woman sitting upon the beast, or the Antichrist. She sits on him. So in that position, she rules over the beast. But not for long, okay? And for the first 3.5 years, I believe this church system will unite all the religions of the world together around her, and all the peoples of the world looking for comfort, looking for safety, desiring peace and unity at the price, no matter what the price is, no matter how much doctrine they have to throw away, we want unity. That's happening now. It's called the ecumenical movement. Even among Christians, there's a softening of taking a stand and a separated stand and holding on to the doctrines in order to have unity among all the religions of the world. We call them new evangelicals. I'm going to tell you something. I just throw this in here. Jack Van Impe used to preach to Roman Catholics as people who needed to be saved. Now he praises the Pope and the priests for the work that they have done. There's something wrong there. And it shows you the times of the seasons that we're in. And I believe we're in the last days. And he's on the airwaves and his words go out all over the place. And it's bad. I believe he's going to have to stand and give account to the Lord someday for that. And of course, Billy Graham never would say anything to expose false doctrine either. Now, I will say both of these men have been instrumental in some way to lead many people to Christ. But I just want you to see the signs of the times are compromise, giving in, giving up a position of doctrinal purity for unity. And it's going to even get stronger when the true church is gone and there's no real true witness as far as the church is concerned. And this, the rest of the false church just takes over. And right on into the first 3.5 years. But at that point is when it's going to end. So we see her sitting on this scarlet colored beast. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Folks, I can't help but think every single year at Christmas time when they put on the TV screen for the whole world to see the mass, the high mass of the Pope on Christmas Eve. It almost looks just like what I'm reading right here in this passage. He holds that cup up just like this. It's filled with the filthiness of her fornication and abominations, which kind of like culminate in this over thousands of years. This is a culmination of the work of Satan and paganism and mixing it together with Christianity till we come to this terrible culmination of mixture of paganism and Christianity. Golden cup. And the Protestants have lost their protest long ago. I don't know why they even call them Protestants anymore. They're non-Protestants. And I believe they're all going to go back to Rome. And the Lutheran preachers are making the sign of the cross, have been doing that for a long time. And the traditions and all the showy things that go on in these churches today look just like Rome, Roman Catholicism. They're all going back. And the Pope can go to some of these countries like in Africa and so forth and sit there and enjoy the celebration of the satanic dances of the natives all around him. You know, what is this thing? Can you imagine Pastor Freeman sitting here and inviting American Native Indians to come in and do their dance with their witch doctors or whatever and their all their things to the great white spirit and everything and saying, putting my blessing upon it. We can learn from this. We can see Christ in this. Oh, no, God forbid that happens. But you know what? One day, the Gary Freemans of the world are going to be gone. And this thing's going to go right on into the tribulation time. Great filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. If you remember, about a year ago, or maybe it was more than that, we were going through the book of Chronicles. Remember that? How many remember a study in the book of Chronicles? King after king of Israel kept compromising with the pagan religious ways around her. And many of them had to do with pagan gods of Babylon, the Medes and the Persians. All of these things starting at Tower of Babel. Because that's where it started. Nimrod, rebellion against God, will make a tower reaches unto heaven. This is all pagan stuff. And then God scattered them. They took the religion of Babylon with them all over the earth. It's very interesting when you do a study of paganism in the various countries, how similar they all are. Because they came from the same place. Oh, they may have got adulterated as they went along. They have different names for their different gods and so forth. But it's all the same thing. Mystery Babylon. And it's going to all culminate in itself with a combination of paganism and Christianity, a false Christianity, right into the middle of the tribulation time. And she's going to rule the world. The nations are going to be following after her. And doing whatever she wants. I don't want to read all this, but verse 6 tells that she has the blood of the martyrs on her hands, and we certainly know the history of Rome in that regard. The beast is is talked about in verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then down here in verse 12, I'll start. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Who's the beast? This scarlet colored beast that the harlot's sitting on. We're going to start seeing a little rumbling of this beast. And some of the kings are going to help give him his power. They'll only have it for an hour because he's going to throw them off. And he's going to rule and reign all by himself. He's not going to share his glory with these three other kings. They're going to have 1 hour of glory, and then they're going to be gone. The beast is going to remain. What about this harlot sitting on her, on the beast? Verse 14. These, talking about the beast and the kings with him, shall make war with the Lamb. Kind of just a little insert in here to let you know what's going to finally happen here. And the Lamb shall overcome them. That's going to be right here, the Battle of Armageddon. We haven't got there yet. The Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's us. We're there. Okay, verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Folks, this is a global religion, all gathered around this harlot system. And you say, well, what is this harlot system? I won't identify it. The Bible will identify it. They say, well, you're just going to put your own opinion. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself in your own Bible. All the peoples of the world are going to be involved in this thing. Verse 16, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Which the whole chapter 18 is all about. About the destruction of this harlot. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Well, there's God once again pushing his will on these unsaved people to do his work to destroy the harlot. Just like the Lord back here, the Russian invasion of Israel is going to put hooks in their jaws and bring them down, only to destroy them on the mountains of Israel. Now, we already discussed that last week, so I won't get back into that. I'll never stop talking about that. But what's going to happen here? The Lord's going to put it into the hearts of the beast and the kings surrounding him, giving him his power to destroy this harlot system which is riding them, keeping them from being able to take power unto themselves, because they would have to share that power with her. They've been doing it for 3.5 years and they're sick and tired of it. I think it's an interesting development, and I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility to see this, because this is only 3.5 years time. All this is going to take place in 3.5 years. What am I saying? I think it's interesting to watch the world sometimes say to the religious system, bug off. Get out of our way. We're tired of you telling us what to do. But see, she's still going to wield her power for 3.5 years into the tribulation time. They're not going to be able to just shake her off because she has great power. But the beast is going to throw her off. For God will put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree together, give their kingdom unto the beast. Verse 18. Let me read it. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. Not will be that great city. Is that great city which reigneth. That means present tense at the time John wrote this. Which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Folks, that is Rome. Rome. John, I want to say Paul. John identifies the great harlot as being located in a city. Without a doubt, it's Rome. There's no other city that meets that description. When John wrote what he wrote, Rome. And I believe chapter 18 of Revelation is the destruction of the Roman Catholic papal system. Babylon, all paganism and Christianity, all wrapped up together in a pretty package, going to be destroyed. Not necessarily by God, but by this Antichrist. To get rid of her completely. And Revelation 18 describes how the merchants of the world look upon this destruction and they're amazed at it. They can hardly believe it. And yet it takes place. And when it is done, the last one standing is the beast. He's left alone to rule this world. The false church is gone. The harlot system is gone. And the beast rises to power. Everyone takes 666. You can't do anything without it. Those who take the gospel message and believe in it, they're going to die for the cause of Christ. Look now, and I'll show you that. I want to use, let's use red for blood, okay? Many people are going to die during the tribulation time just by getting saved, just by trusting Christ. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And Revelation 7, verses 19 or verse 9, I'm sorry, verse 9 through 17. Revelation 9 through 17. Souls saved during the tribulation time. Look at Revelation 6. That's the scene of the souls that I believe have died up to this point. Right up to the first 3.5 years. Look at verse 9. Revelation 6 verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They were told the answer to how long? Before I avenge your souls, there's others that have to be killed yet. Wow, what an answer. And that answer is found in Revelation 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Must have been one of the ways in which they suffered. Neither thirst any more. See, they didn't have the mark of the beast. They can't buy food, can't get water. And it's something we see troubles go on today, and we send plane loads over of what? Water. Water in plastic bottles. Who gets it? Those whom the UN says should get it. Imagine a tribulation time when troubles are coming on this earth, not only from heaven with the seals, trumpets, and bowls, but also the trouble coming from the persecution of Antichrist upon people who would trust the gospel and be saved. Don't give the water to them. Bring those boats over here. Bring those planes over here. Give it to these people. They got the mark of the beast. And you have to scan under however the mark of the beast is or whatever in order to get your food. Imagine this scene going on. Thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Who are these? Where do they come from? They are the souls who are going to be saved from here. Folks, I'm pointing at 3.5 to the end of the tribulation. They're the souls who are going to die for the cause of Christ, for the testimony of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Wow. Here we sit in free America. Religious toleration. And I don't mean to scare you or anything, but there are a lot of Christians who are giving their life for the cause of Christ today in various situations in this world. At this very moment, maybe sitting in a prison cell of some kind, maybe a very primitive situation, very wicked, ungodly situation, just because they say, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I will not recant. I will not change my mind. In fact, you can kill me. I cannot change. You say, where are they going to get the strength to do that? We have Bible verses that tell us that the Lord will be with us in times like that. And don't worry about it now. But just know it can happen. But that the Lord will give you the grace you need to make it through. We're all going to face death one way or another, aren't we? Whether it's through slow death of sickness or something, or maybe at the hands of persecutors. The Lord will be with us and take us right on through to the other side. And when we get to the other side, I believe it won't be any different for us than it will be for those saints who are going to die during these 3.5 years. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes as well. I don't think he's any different to some than others. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Got quite a bit of stuff on that board, don't we? Or don't I? And hopefully this has been help to you. I guess we're going to have a prophecy number 3, and I think we can finish this the next time we do this, taking us from the end of the tribulation time right on into eternity. There are some things that we still need to go over. Now, how about any questions or anything? Anybody got any questions or thoughts about what's going on? I'm going to get a microphone here, Sam. How about you? I'll see which one fits, which one is working here. Okay, I got a black one here. All right. If you have a question, raise your hand. I want to get it on the microphone, okay? So is it working now? Am I coming through the microphone? It's still good. There we go. I hear it there. Okay. Anybody with a question? Anybody with a question? Chris, speak right into the microphone for me.
I just think it's interesting that many people have written off the Catholic Church in the last 2 decades because of certain scandals. Mm-hmm. And that this most recent Pope Francis, that he is really charming a lot of people in the world. He's a really swell guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And that it's going to have to be, people are going to have to gravitate towards that church because yep. It's going to be the key church in the end times.
That's an interesting observation. Anybody else with a question? You say, I don't want to talk in that microphone. But you have to, okay? Because we want people to hear what the questions are. Anybody got a question or additional thought? Something like what Chris was doing there? A good observation. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed as I've gone pretty long here tonight. But we'll finish this up next Sunday night. Prophecy number 3, okay? And get it done. We'll get ourselves into eternity next Sunday night. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the things in your word. Thank you that you've not kept us in the dark. And we can see what's going to happen according to the scriptures. And we pray that you would use us to win souls to Christ, lest they go into this time of great tribulation on this earth. So help us to go forth with the good news on our lips, because people need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.